Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton. This episode, we are discussing the influence of technology on our spirituality. Are we able to maintain a high level of spirituality with our technological advances becoming more and more pronounced? David, what do you think?
I think that technology is a beautiful thing, and I think it's a two-edged sword, is what I would say. Mm-hmm. I think there is a challenge for us to maintain our spirituality, but also I think it is a way to really kind of keep us moving forward on our spiritual growth. It's kind of an excellent tool, as we had mentioned in a couple of other episodes, kind of how technology gets us ready to accept the possibilities and the capabilities of what we're able to do as human beings, as a species, as a creature.
Mm-hmm. So I think probably one of the things we have to do right off, because spirituality can have many meanings to many different people. If we're talking about technology and spirituality, what is the definition of spirituality, and is there one definition that we can apply for this whole episode?
Well, it's a tough thing to do, because I think that spirituality is an intensely personal thing. I don't think it can be described by any one person and have it be applied to anybody else. Spirituality is so unique to our own life experience that it can only be defined by one's own life experience, by the person experiencing it.
Hmm. Okay, so let's go with the more of the technological part. Would you see some of these advances in technology, like the iPad and iPhone and all those things, where you can actually, you know, be sitting there watching TV or whatever and texting your friends, and while you're in the middle of a conversation or whatever, or driving, things like that? Do you see that more as a distraction, or do you think that's more of a question of self-control and etiquette?
I think there's bleed over often. I think one of the things that gives rise to etiquette is acknowledgement and being present. For example, when somebody comes to your wedding and brings you gifts and stuff like that, the proper etiquette is to give them thank you cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
That etiquette is based on the idea that you're acknowledging the gesture that somebody made. And I think that because etiquette is born out of that, when we are employing technology and it starts to remove us from our being present and being socially interactive, then there can be a potential breach of etiquette. Now, the funny thing about that is, and I talk to people about this at work and around, that it seems to have changed the rules of etiquette. Once upon a time, it was in very bad taste and poor etiquette to pull out your phone and start texting somebody while in a social situation or at the dinner table or something like that. And now it seems that we become more connected on a virtual level and less connected on a physical level. So then it makes you wonder, I guess the question here is, where's the right and where's the wrong? How much should we be connected physically versus digitally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm going with the whole idea, is because for me, my sense of spirituality has to do with a sense of being connected to the world, other people, the universe, you know, having that sense of, you know, awe and wonder of that really deep connection on a very profound level. To me, that, in a nutshell, is being spiritual and having a spiritual experience. For me, I can see technology, certain forms of technology, being very helpful for that and also being very detrimental to that. For instance, if you do certain types of meditation, I think having a CD that is designed for people who meditate in a certain way or whatever is extremely helpful. But at the same time, you know, if you have, like what you said, these phones and other phones and phones and phones and then things, phones on Skype and or not, or just anything where, you know, you can set your phone to alert you when you get an email or when you get a text or when you get this or when you get anything else. I think those can be very distracting and actually make it so that your brain is always is ready to be, you know, hit with something like a piece of information, like I'm waiting for a text, I'm waiting for an email. Somebody's going to communicate with me. I haven't checked my email in so much time. Has anybody sent to me? And I think being in a constant state of mind like that makes it more difficult to have that profound connection with the world and other people and the universe as a whole.
Well, what you're talking about there is based on the idea that technology is a tool. And when it becomes so incorporated that it's no longer just a tool, but it's a support system, then I think there's something that needs to be examined further just in how we are functioning in our own lives. And in what you're talking about here, when you become so dependent on getting the next piece of information as quickly as possible and responding to it as soon as possible, a lot of people... I want to address something here.
Okay.
And one of my favorite series of books, Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh, very wonderful spiritual books. He has a website out. He has a blog, and I enjoy the blog. It's a really cool blog. It's called The Alternative Voice. In here, he had a post about technology. Because somebody had said, you know, I'm kind of going on a cell phone free weaker they were doing. I can't remember what it was, but there are all these things about people. Well, can you give up your cell phone? Could you give up this piece of technology? Could you be off of Facebook? Could you give up your Facebook account? And what was interesting is a lot of people said, I find that very difficult because I have 3 email accounts and I have a landline and I have a cell phone and I have this and I have a Twitter feed and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very difficult to do. But it's very difficult to do if they've created that environment.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing is telling them that they have to respond to all these bits and pieces of technology. Back in the what I always call the Stephen Covey era, which was the 90s.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, Stephen Covey era, I had a quote. I said to Jackie, I said, begin with the end in mind. And I said, that's so Stephen Covey. And... with all due respect to Stephen Covey, there's some beautiful gems in there. And one of the things that I really took away from it was the idea of the tyranny of the urgent, which is the 4 quadrants.
Uh-huh.
What is, there was, you made a quadrant.
You're talking about the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People?
It comes from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Okay.
It's the piece where it talks about what's important, what's urgent.
Ah, yes.
And you can break it into quadrants. You have one quadrant that is important and urgent, one that's important and not urgent, one that's not important and urgent, and one that's important and urgent. And it's talking about what to address and when to address it. That we often mistake what is urgent but not important to urgent and important. When the phone rings, that's a great example. The phone rings, we feel this compulsion to answer it when it may be someone just wanting to chew the fat.
Or a telemarketer.
Or a telemarketer, yeah, even worse yet, which is to sell the fat.
Would you like to save $24 a month on your car insurance?
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of my take on it is I think when our lives are out of balance, we will be more responsive. We will actually be not only allow ourselves to be disconnected using our technology becomes a tool to distract us from being present within ourselves and within the moment and with the opportunity to be introspective and self-reflection.
So the next question would be finding a way to connect with your spirituality in whatever form it takes and integrating it in balance with the different forms of technology that we use.
You mean how to kind of have a level playing field between the two of them?
Yeah, or basically, I think the question that would follow that would be, a lot of people would say, how do you do that? How do you maintain a feeling of spirituality, a sense of connecting to the divine in any way, shape, or form that you see it, and still be connected and quote-unquote plugged in to a lot of the social media and a lot of the social sites, like, you know, keeps you connected to a number of people on a regular basis?
Well, It's really trying to listen to yourself. I mean, part of it is prioritizing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're at a family reunion, you spend most of your time texting. Well, that should be a no-brainer, but it's not for everybody. But I think the bigger part here is when we really do some self-reflection, when we really decide what is important to us and really know what our cues and signals are. For example, I've got these endeavors that I'm working on right now, and I've actually not been as present on the forum that I belong to, that I'm one of the moderators on.
Mm-hmm.
I check in, but and Facebook, forget it. I haven't seen Facebook. I've barely touched on Facebook in a couple of days. So I said to myself, self, what is the priority here? Facebook, with all due respect to Facebook, it can be a veritable wasteland. It really can be. I love it. It's a great distraction, and it's really fun to kind of check in and see what people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not working for Facebook, I don't find a time in your life where you say, you know what, I really need to spend more time on Facebook. And again, I'm not slamming Facebook. I think it's fun. It's a great thing. But if there are things that you know are going to add more value to your life, and Facebook preempts those things, then there's a lack of balance. So I think it's self-reflection. It's really knowing what's important to you. And once you've got those things out of the way and you feel like you can rest, then you can hop on and play. But I do see people that spend so much time with the distractions, I'm wondering, what are they avoiding?
Mm. And that would probably lead more to, is it a fear or of a success, a fear of avoidance, or like what you said, not having found that spiritual balance yet.
So how would you separate what would be a passion from an obsession or a distraction?
See, that is one of those interesting questions, because you see people that become very popular and do really well with their passions, or as some people would consider them, obsessions. If it wasn't an obsession for them, or a passion, or as much of a passion for them, then they would have never reached that level. You know, I find it really interesting, because for some people, you know, that are really going, you know, full sail into their passions, it can look like they're completely obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
It can look like complete and utter obsession. But at the same time, if you look like 10, 15, 20 years down the road, if they still have that same passion, that same obsession, it's a good chance that they're finding a way to use that to make a living. And then, therefore, it's no longer a obsession, it's a career.
Well, I want to stop you there, because I hear this a lot, and I love the idea of making your passion your career.
Uh-huh.
However, sometimes I don't think that passion... And this is going to be a divergence, and then we'll come back to technology. But sometimes I don't think if something's your passion, that it can necessarily be your career. One of my greatest passions in the world is spending time with my beautiful spouse. Mm-hmm. I can't make a career out of that, unfortunately. So I think they're...
Yes, you can, David. You just have to become much, much more creative.
Yeah, no kidding. If I could figure it out. Maybe I should have her pay me. But that's not going to work very well. So
No.
Because then she'll just say, well, then you pay me. And then we break even. So there we are. But with passions, I don't think that every passion necessarily, if you have a passion, that it is a call sign that it needs to become a career. Because I think
I agree.
We can have several passions. And I think the good thing about a passion become versus an obsession, an obsession leaves you little room for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think most people have several passions. And one of them could be your career, and then a lot of other ones could be other things that are not necessarily income generators. So I think when you start even a career, when you start doing anything and it starts to exclude everything else, there's no room for anything else, then it becomes an obsession. And I think when we talk about technology, when we spend tremendous amounts of time chatting or texting or on the phone or in front of our computer or surfing and all that, where it actually preempts other areas, then I think the balance is off, and it's now an obsession.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you completely. And really good point there, the passion and obsession, because I currently look at it a little differently, where I've studied a lot of successful people over the years and looked at their biographies and how they've come from where they were to get to where they are. From my perspective, a lot of times it seems like they were passionate but also obsessed, you know, passionately obsessed with what they were doing.
What's your definition of successful?
Successful is basically financially well off and basically reaching the top of the level of whatever your passion or career is. Like if it's music, being, you know, rock star, doing tours, putting out albums, being signed to a label, stuff like mm-hmm. that. If your passion is theater or acting, then, you know, being on stage or screen or big screen or something like that. So
I do know people who are very passionate about theater, and they most of the time are not getting paid, or if they're getting paid, it's barely enough to get their a tune up on their car. So would that say that they're not successful?
Oh no, I'm not. I wouldn't say that they're not successful. I'm just saying that in these certain cases that I'm referring to, the people are so passionately obsessed with their goals and desires of whatever they're into that they forsake all else until they start having success in that area. Or as the term goes, they die trying.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that have, you know, passion for different areas of life and, you know, like you said, the theater, I wouldn't say that they're unsuccessful at all.
Okay.
I look at it more if you are not doing at least something in your life that brings you a sense of accomplishment and joy, well, I'm just going to put it this way, the nicest way I know how, find a passion. Find okay. something that does bring you joy. So, yeah, I don't think that people that are in the theater or any other artistic venue or whatever that it's not their living are unsuccessful. Well, like Melissa Etheridge, part of her story is I think she got into L.A. on a bus with, I think, less than $20 mm-hmm. in cash, and it was rough going for a little while. And then she got noticed and signed a deal, and there it was. And what I'm saying is that level of commitment, of that level of obsession, that level of passion for, you know, what you are into, and for her, in her example, it was music. She wasn't going to let anything but what she wanted be acceptable. A lot of people like to eat occasionally,
mm-hmm.
and so they find more of a healthy balance between their passions and actually having something like maybe buying a home or a car or whatnot, something like that.
Well, now, on a rare occasion in the history of Take the Red Pill podcast, we're going to have to figure out how to get this back on our topic.
we
went way tangent that. There. Because this one, I'm going, ooh, technology, it's kind of sitting out there like a little boat on the on the sound.
Well, actually, I can easily bring it back, and I'll tell you how. Would you be able to see somebody's passion or as a form of their spirituality, part of their spiritual makeup?
Their passion?
Yeah. Could you see that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, me having done music in the past, there are times where writing a song, the whole idea of songwriting or even performing, is so intense and connected where it's, you know, it does feel like an extreme spiritual experience. If we can look at passions and obsessions as connected to our spirituality, then we can bring it back into how technology has developed, let's say, over the past, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, that allows us to express our spirituality or connect with our spirituality in a number of different ways.
Spirituality is one thing and technology is another. Technology really is a tool, and I think it's pretty much just that.
What if technology is your obsession?
But that it's not technology that's the obsession. It isn't technology, believe it or not. It's whatever that technology brings you. It's like I once said that even somebody who's doing research, is getting some emotional reaction. I posted a blog entry about emotion being the root of all of our impetuses, of all of our actions, that no action is taken without an emotional basis behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of technology, the obsession with technology is just what its capabilities are and whatever that, like, for example, if we use, let's say, being online, let's say surfing the internet.
Okay.
If your love of technology is internet driven, then it's all the newness that you can find, or it's the social networks, being able to connect with people. If your obsession with technology is fixing computers or programming, it's puzzle solving, it's problem solving, it's watching mechanics and making things work. Or if technology is interesting, the newest and latest and greatest gadgetry, it's all about that excitement you get with something being new.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can always find a correlation. There are people who love to social network that are also social people.
Mm-hmm.
So, or there are people who, before the internet came along, spent a lot of time in libraries. Or there are people who, before they worked on computers, they worked on cars.
You mean there was a time where there wasn't an internet?
A long time ago, yeah.
No,
like 15 years ago.
No, I think you saw some horror movie about that.
there was no
time when there was no internet, David. Come on.
Now, are you in the passionate or obsessed category here? That's what I want to know.
I am passionately obsessed with people and connecting with them in all ways, shapes, and forms that I can find. Mostly through online, but also in person.
Well, and that's the thing about the technology, is it's really a tool to connect to people, is what it is.
Mm-hmm. If that's your passion.
What's that?
If that's your passion.
If that's your passion. So the technology is nothing more than that. And it's just amazing what technology has allowed us to do. And I think it really is a marvelous focusing tool to show us what the human capabilities are, to what extent that we can really accomplish things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's about it. I think we will hit a wall if we think that we can only excel as far as our technology can.
Well, yeah, because we had spiritual lives and spiritual expression and spiritual connections before the level of technology that we have now existed. And, you know, going back through the whole history of humanity, 150 years ago, we had, you know, the biggest, greatest thing was, oh, we have printing presses and paper, and we have horse-drawn carriages and, you know, irrigated lands. Woohoo!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, I might be off on the timing of some of those, but
yeah,
you kind of get what I'm talking about, connected to where we are now, where it's they're talking about, you know, we can actually be more connected, where the fashion will bend to allow for our gadgets to be held on our arms or whatever, where they can do like little hologram things, and oh, you're getting a call, and a little hologram of whoever it is calling, you know, pops in instead of a picture, and video chatting like a wristband, like, oh, hey, we'll also be able to monitor your vitals and all that other stuff, so that if you're all of a sudden your blood stops pumping, it automatically connects with a local EMS and just like 911, mm-hmm. I'm here.
Right.
I need help now.
Well, you know what's interesting to me about that, because what you're talking about there is something that measures something that could potentially threaten your life,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And when we start talking about those kind of things, these heart monitor ideas, these devices that monitor our heart rate, and there's all sorts of technology that is being brought into helping us to stay alive and helping us to really maintain our vitality.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about this kind of stuff, how dependent are we on technology, and how dependent ought we be on technology? I ask that because we can live without technology, but we cannot live without the planet. And I'm not going into the we're destroying the planet thing, because I don't think that's the case.
Oh, come on, Dave, you know you're a tree hugger.
No, well, I am an environmentalist in a lot of ways, just because I like being here. It's not because I think that the Earth is going to get destroyed. The Earth is going to be floating around for as long as it can hold out. all we're doing is destroying ourselves rather than the earth. I mean, the earth is like, yeah, we'll work it out. It all comes from me and it all comes back to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that humans really are just massively recyclable. We are recyclable as far as I'm concerned.
So you'd say you more of shake the tree's hand instead of give it a big hug?
Well, you know, it's grounding to hug a tree.
Exactly.
It's good grounding, so sometimes
you know
it's
out of it. This is another one of those little asides. I have always heard the term tree hugger my whole life. It wasn't until my early 20s where I was out, you know, by trees and whatever, and I didn't see anybody. I'm like, what is this whole thing? And did they actually mean tree hugging? And I actually hugged a tree. And I will tell you, it was kind of odd. It was kind of weird. It was kind of sappy, and I got a little sticky, you know, because it was that time of the year. There was a very distinct feeling of connecting to nature with that. And I thought about it, and it's like, what was that connection? It's like I was sending positive energy to nature, and I was receiving positive energy back. Mm-hmm. To me, that was a form of spirituality. And I have to admit, I have never had that kind of connection with a piece of technology.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
And so I see where you're going. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I've had cars and I've had guitars and I've had computers this and I've had little trinkets and, you know, CD players and Walkman players, cassette players. Yeah, that's dating me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, I've really enjoyed
when you start saying you had an 8-track player and when you had a Victrola, then a brand new Victrola, I'm saying, then I'm gonna worry. I'm gonna say, how old are you really?
I'm older than time and space. So, I will be here for exactly
Donald the Undead.
Yeah, I didn't tell you, David, I'm a zombie. I'm an immortal zombie that has just been hanging around for the past 400 years.
You know how I feel about zombie stories.
No, I know. That's why I said zombies.
Ay, babe. Zombies. I'm going to write a zombie story. Let's see. Let me read another zombie story, and then I should have a good idea for a zombie story. I'm like, really? How many ways are you going to tell the zombie story? Okay, rant's done. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But, yeah, going back to what I was
technology creates tangentiality. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Because we're so tangential today.
Well, yeah. And I think what it is I mean,
you know what it is? This episode is much akin to surfing.
Ah.
If you have stumble upon, this is the stumble upon of podcast episodes for Take the Red Pill.
Hang 10, dude. other type of surfing. Gotcha.
Do you do the stumble upon?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I
Donald. No, don't do it. Don't do stumble upon. Don't. Look, just don't do it.
Do they have a Stumble Upon's Anonymous where it's just like, I'm recovering or something?
No, because they can't get their way out. There's no recovery for it. Actually, I stumble upon. It's like the ultimate internet distraction. What it is you just click a button. It takes you to a random website based on your interests.
Oh.
And then you find all these things that people have submitted to stumble upon. And you're like, oh, look at this. Half the stuff that you see come up on Facebook that people are like, oh, check out this video. Stumbled. They stumbled upon it.
Mm-hmm.
And the stumble upon is just a random website generator. And you know, when I think about these things, I love Stumble Upon. I think it's fun. I don't use it a lot. I use it intermittently. But these things, this is what I'm talking about. Technology is a blast. Mm-hmm. The iPad is a great idea. What a wonderful thing. Cell phones, oh man, you know, I have a Droid. And I think the Droid is great. There's things that I'm sitting there saying to my spouse, you should get an iPhone or a Droid, you know, da da da. I'm on this whole Droid kick. But at the same time, I could put it away and it stays put away. It rings and I'll look at it and see if it's anyone urgent, and if it's not, I'll put it away. There's a balance. There's got to be a balance. I think we can get too obsessed with the technology, and I think when we get to a point of being obsessed with technology, then I think we're checked out, and I think it becomes a distraction. But mm-hmm. I want to make clear that I think that technology is a beautiful thing, and even the diversions of technology, it's like television. Television is beautiful on one hand, and it's disgusting on the other hand. Television shows us these wonders. It shows us these stories about what we're able to accomplish as human beings. It shows how we can connect together, and it tells stories of us overcoming adversity. On the other hand, it also highlights the capabilities of violence. There's just this meaningless. It gives us a distorted idea of how people really behave and act. There's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't discern what is real from not from watching television, or if after watching 5 hours from television, you've got nothing good to say about anything because you've just been watching all this negativity, the balance is off. It's all about finding balance.
So are you advocating, you know, watching more positive stuff or finding other positive ways to use technology and entertainment? Or is it just keeping track of what is real and what is not real and where that line is drawn?
I think there's a lot of that. I think what's real and what's not real is just really knowing ourselves. And again, like what we talked about at the top of the show, is being grounded in that. There will be times that I have to tell myself to stop. I'll actually have to close my MacBook. I have to close it. I could feel this really kind of strange energy and dynamo. And actually, I think I've blogged about this before, where I feel this crazy, it's like a dynamo. It's like a whirlwind. It just keeps perpetuating and getting kind of more and more and more amped up. And I get this crazy, odd, restless feeling. And I get more drawn into it. And it's almost like the more I know I have to step away from it, the harder it is to step away from it. Well, just one more thing. Just one more place. Just one thing. And when I hear that little dialogue, the just one more, that is the biggest neon sign flashing saying, get off of the computer. And just be still and enjoy the moment. But so many of us listen to the compulsion. We listen to the just one more. I know I need to go to bed, but maybe I'll just do this one more thing. And we're so absorbed with that. Because we want that discretion. Because being in the moment can sometimes be scary. Being still can sometimes be a really disconcerting feeling.
Actually hearing your own voice instead of the voices of all the information that you're looking at and all the information that you have coming in from all these different streams. There are some people, I think, that are out there that may not have been able to hear their voice in like the past 12, 13 years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they have one moment where it's just like, oh my goodness. Oh, I must be going crazy. I'm hearing voices in my head again. And they're telling me weird and crazy things that I don't know if I agree with. I'm like, no, they're saying things like, hey, you know what's really important? It's more important to have dinner with your family than to play Farmville. Mm-hmm. Like, well, wait a second. Farmville brings me a lot of enjoyment. Yes, and that's fine, and that's okay, and you can play Farmville. But you also need to make sure that you're connecting with your family in one way or another on a regular basis, because if the only way you're connecting with your family is, hey, are you my neighbor in Farmville? No. Well, why not? Hey, can you help me? I need to go out to the store to get some groceries. Can you make sure my crops are, you know, taken care of, you know, so that I can actually get some more by the time I get home? If that is your whole interaction with your family, that's rather sad.
Yeah.
On the same token, though, I heard a story in the past 4 or 5 years where there's this couple where they met online in on Second Life, which is a big online community.
Right.
They started dating online, then they actually met in real life, you know, skipping apart across a whole bunch. They eventually got married, and one of the things that, you know, they obviously enjoy doing together is playing Second Life together at night after work and everything like that. And so that's where it comes back to your question of passion and obsession. If these two people found each other through technology and have learned how to find a way to connect with each other that works for both of them, who are we or anyone else to say, well, if their only way they can really have a strong connection is through a game, like, no, people have strong connections through all kinds of things.
Absolutely. You know,
other than games. Mm-hmm. Some people it's music, some people it's drugs, some people it's alcohol, some people it's children, some people it's, you know, I have one friend who basically fell in love with and married their current spouse and has because of the show Babylon 5. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the success of playing cards that came out with them, and that's how they met, and they still love doing that whole thing. When you bring in examples like that, where does that idea of really connecting with people and technology, where does that balance start to shift? Because what's balanced for some people might not be balanced for other people with the use of technology and connecting with others.
Okay. And so you're saying it's a unique case, it's a unique basis, that there may be cases to where being so entrenched in technology is not necessarily a sign of being out of balance. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because like what you said at the very beginning of the episode, spirituality is such a personal thing for so many people, mm-hmm. that I think finding the balance between use of technology and our spirituality is just as unique. Mm-hmm. So I could be wrong, but that's just kind of where I'm seeing it go. Where it's like that whole saying of what might be right for some may not be right for others.
Oh, you're just quoting this theme from Different Strokes.
I was wondering if you'd pick that up.
Of course, I can. Yeah. I know that, Mr. Drummond.
Yeah, you know, so it goes into one of the lines that I heard, you know, in another movie. It's like, what is a sin in God's eyes? And I look at that as, if it works for somebody, if they feel that they are connected spiritually and they use technology and they have passions or obsessions, but yet they are able to find happiness, who is it for us to say, anybody, family, friends, society, whatever, that they are unbalanced in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, I could see that.
Actually, let me put it this way. Unbalanced in any way, shape, or form in relation to their current obsession or passion. Because remember the whole Charlie Sheen thing? The whole Charlie Sheen thing, and this is going to be old news by the time this episode comes out. He basically went off on the producers of his Two and a Half Men thing.
I got a snippet of that. I don't pay too close attention, but I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably one of those examples of losing touch with reality outside of your passions and goals, and then using technology and the media using technology to present it to the rest of the world so that you can infect everybody with your craziness.
Well, I do think it's all about you have true joy in it, and if there's a certain level of self-discovery in it, if you really learn about who you are and about living and you are finding joy in it, then I do think that technology, and there could be people that are very infused and immersed in technology that do live well and balanced lives that actually are filled with joy and have a lot of joy. I think technology is a extremely large part of my life. It's a very, very big part of my life. It keeps me employed because I work with computers. I work on computers and I fix them and upgrade them and install them. Mm-hmm. And then I also have these endeavors, just like the podcasts and the blogs and such, and that's all done online, and I have these different endeavors. And so I spend a lot of time on the computer. However, I do have other interests. Jackie and I still like to travel. We like to do home improvement, and technology will be put away or won't even be touched yet if these other endeavors are taking place. I like to cook. I like a good home-cooked meal, and if I had to forego home cooking meals for technology, I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Technology. I'm thigh deep in technology, but not up to my nostrils.
What you're saying is, you're knee high in it. You're surrounded by technology, but at the same time, if it came right down to it, you could live without technology if you had to.
Oh, absolutely. I know I could. I know I could. It's hard to imagine. It's like saying, could I live without a car? I could. It's hard to imagine because it's so much a part of how I get around.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's things that I never thought I could live without. I never thought I would go 2 days without playing music listen to music. And, you know, lots of spans of times go by because things change. I'm mm-hmm. adaptable, I guess. But but yeah, the technology is a tool. It's a tool for me making a living. Mm-hmm. A living. making a living. Let's try the G on that one. Making a living. It's a tool for providing me with an income, for making a living. It's a tool for communicating with people in this area and in writing. And it's there's a little bit of socialization involved with that. But that's all it is, at least for me.
To go back with on what you said with, you know, this podcast specifically, for me, you know, we use a lot of technology just to get this podcast recorded, or to get us connected, get it recorded, get it edited, and then have it put out on iTunes and on the website. But at the same time, before I was podcasting with you, I was constantly having conversations, much like what we have that become our episodes, with friends and other people. And for me personally, I believe I would be having conversations on what that would connect to topics of interest that connect with my spirituality, regardless whether, you know, they were being recorded for the masses or if it was just between a friend and I.
Mm-hmm.
Having that whole technology come into it allows it to reach a different number of people and, you know, have the listeners eavesdrop on yours and my conversation.
Right, exactly.
To me, that is, you know, very spiritually fulfilling. It also goes along with one of my passions. I wouldn't say that I'm obsessed, an obsessed passion, but yet it's one of those things that I have a very strong interest in. And so therefore, for me personally, I see there being a balance with, you know, specifically the podcast, and, you know, I do other things as well, that I'm not totally obsessed in one area. I'm not totally focused in one area. If a friend calls up and says, hey, man, we're going out to eat, you want to go hang out? Like, well, I've mentioned on these podcasts before my obsessive streak with socializing. I'd be like, oh, yeah, meeting people in person, face to face, and, you know, just having fun. Oh, yeah, I have to admit, I'm a little hedonistic in that respect. So I think it goes along with what you were saying earlier, where it's just like technology is a tool. Basically, now I'm thinking about the whole thing of all the conversations I've had with people over the years that have to go on these spiritual, esoteric, occult, you know, whatever topics. If those had been recorded, oh man. And I'm sure you've had conversations that are along the same way where it's just like, oh man, that would be it. That wouldn't, those conversations would have been cool to record as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it's like, oh, go ahead.
So let me ask you this. When you do find yourself knee deep or thigh deep in technology, and you find the waters of technology are rising, and you find that you're so entrenched in it that you don't feel the water rising, in other words, the obsession is creeping up on you, how do you shake yourself out of it? How do you recognize when you're becoming too entrenched in the technology and the technology is living you rather than you living the technology?
You know how you said earlier where for you it's a big red flag if you're like, oh, let me look at this one last thing. Let me it'll only take a second to, you know, check this out. That's also one of my big red flags. But also, since a lot of my my business and stuff is done on the computer, I basically keep track. And it's like, okay, I don't care where you go or what you do, but you are getting out the house. You are leaving the four corners of the house to do something other than being in the house every couple of days or so.
Yeah, what's the trigger, though? What's the trigger that makes you say it's time to go?
No, that's a routine.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, it's a built-in.
That's one of the things where I have experienced in the past where if I don't have some kind of routine like that, where I go out and, you know, go for a walk, or even if it's just to go down to pick up milk at the store, you know, a short little whatever store, it gets me out of the house. It all of a sudden shifts my perspective for a short time to something else. In the past, when I have not had that in place, there have been times where I'd be able to go 3 or 4 days where I'm just so into what I'm doing with work that I'm doing and with my interest that all of a sudden I look up, I'm like, oh, hey, I haven't gone anywhere for a while. Yeah, I get very used to being in that type of a zombie state of mind because I know how much you love zombies.
Mm.
Having that whole thing where it's like, you know, leave the house at least every other day or so. That's like, okay, that's a break. Okay, we're here, we're doing our stuff, we're working. And then all of a sudden it's like, we got a break. We're breaking. Okay.
So you know that your propensity to get too engaged, and so you built in these safeguards.
Oh, yeah.
Because you recognize that in yourself already.
Yes, from past experiences.
Well, and there you go. You had past experiences, and the experiences, again, are always the best teacher. It's interesting. Hopefully there are people who find that they are not satisfied. No, I'm not saying hopefully people find they're not satisfied. I'm saying that.
Jeez, David. When, that's just mean.
Right.
You know, I love you, but I hope you're not satisfied.
You're not going to be satisfied on my watch. What I mean to say is that if there are people that find that the technology is a little bit more taking front stage, and there are places in their life they want to go, and there are things in their life they want to do, and they are people that they want to become, hopefully they can recognize that if there's too much of something in their life, if the technology is playing such a heavy role in their life, that they're disconnected from themselves. And to me, you're disconnected from yourselves when you don't feel a sense of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for me, spirituality boils down to being in the moment and being grateful. You can be in the moment with technology, but technology is also wicked and can snap you right out of the moment. It can distract you from really being just still in the moment or really seeing where you are in this place and time. And I think if people can take a measure and say, you know, this is not quite where I want my life to be, what seems to be the major player in my life, and if it is technology, then that's an opportunity to really figure out how to pull back on that and give it a place. I don't think we all have to give up technology. We don't. I think we just have to understand and let it be a tool rather than a life support system.
Yeah, find the balance. Find what's at the core of our spirituality. Find what's most important to us, and then use, like you said earlier, technology as a tool to make what is important to us, to accentuate that, to create more of a connection to what we find is important, as opposed to having the tool be what is important.
Right, exactly. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening and joining in on the podcast. If you would like to give us some feedback, we would love it. And you can give us feedback by visiting our website, which is taketheredpillpodcast.com. You can also leave a review for us on iTunes. Just do a search under podcast for Take the Red Pill. Find us on iTunes and leave a review there. We would love it. Thank you.
So I am Donald Dalton for taketheredpillpodcast.com. Wishing you really cool something or other, and I'm going to try that again.
Oh, yeah.
I have to come up with something. Normally it just comes at the very end. Wishing you a technological, spiritual, balanced life.
And this is David Deere. Try to stay unplugged and be in the moment just for a little bit.